1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Peter is writing to believers, men and women, boys and girls, who've heard the precious word of God and have grabbed onto it. And Peter's intention and God's intention, I believe, is to show us how to be faithful. To show us how to be faithful and not just be faithful, but to stay faithful to our Lord as we live our lives from day to day. In verse number 17, Peter begins, and that's why I wanted to go back there. He begins his plea that we be faithful, that we are faithful to God. If or since, he says, you call on him as your father, then spend the time that he has given you here. Spend the time that you are here on this earth in fear and in worship and in praise of him as your God and as your father. Reverence him and serve him. Have faith in God and hold on to that. Never lose it. Be so resolved. And we are not to just to have faith for the moment or to serve in some things, but we are to serve God and to serve him wholeheartedly. In verse number 22, he says, "Seeing that ye have purified your souls, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit with unfeigned love of the brethren," he says, "see now that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, with enthusiasm." He says, "I want you to give me your all," is what God is saying. He says, "I want you to love me, and I want you to love the brethren. I want you to love all with enthusiasm, fervently." Peter's calling on us to be authentic in our praise, in our worship, in our service to our Lord, and to be passionate as we serve him, understanding what it means to be born again by and through the blood of Jesus Christ, an incorruptible Redeemer that lives forever and forever. And in Christ alone, we're to place our trust. Because everything else will fade away. But in Christ, we can depend. And if you've made the declaration that this Jesus is your Jesus, Peter says, prove it. Prove it. I think that's what he's saying to us right here. Just prove it. Show your colors. That's what I've entitled the message today. Show your colors. Show your colors means to represent. Camps are infamous for dividing kids by color. For the kids who go into camp, or for any of you who have visited a camp, you know that the camps are broken down into colors, and that's the way they do their spirit. In schools, at our own high school, when they want to show their spirit, they wear maroon and gold so that everybody will know that they're the mighty, mighty Bulldogs of supporters. Well, show your colors means to represent. And it says, I'm on the team. It says, I believe what the team believes. It says, I'm serving voluntarily. It says, I want to be associated with the team. I'm on their side. Well, and I think God commands that we show our colors as Christians. And as those who are Christ-like, he says, people ought to be able to know it. We are to mirror the very character of Christ at all times. And Peter has pictured already for us what it means to be a child of God. And what Christ has done for us and how dependable he is as Savior. And now he says to us, if you are on his side, show your colors. Prove it. Let his colors be your colors. Wear them proudly. Now, and the question is, how do we do that? And I think that if I would just take a quick paraphrase, I think the one thing I could sum it down into one word. Peter says, how do we do it? We change. How do we do it? We change. We change colors. We change teams. Peter has given us the if portion of our equation for today. If we were in a math class, we'd have an if and a then. If this is true, then this must be true. I think he's saying now, if God is your God, if God is the God of your life, if that is the case, then prove it. Then get rid of the old man and replace it with a new man. Show your colors and represent Christ. 2 points I want to share with you today. That if we're going to show our colors, if we're going to do as God has called upon us to do, we've got to throw out the old. We got to out with the old, and we got to bring in the new. And we got to make a commitment that we're going to get rid of the old and we're going to bring in the new, and that's it. That's it. We're not going to hold on to the old and keep it for when we might need it and draw it back. And as people want to say, he almost made me lose my religion. I want you to know, if somebody can make you lose it, you never had it. Okay. I want you to know that they can't make you lose the new man, that God wants us to represent and to be true. So first of all, let's look at this whole point of getting out with the old as we show our colors before God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, this is representation of what the old man looks like. Now, so that we understand how much God dislikes all of these things, malice and guile and hypocrisies and envious and evil speaking, why don't we just go to where God tells us specifically how much he hates it? Look in Proverbs 11, verse number 1. Proverbs 11, verse number 1, page 492, if you're following along in the Pew Bible. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 11, verse number 1, he says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, certainly this verse speaks about dealings with people, specifically about business dealings, I believe. And it's talking about a false balance, or to deceive another in what a product weighs or what a product is worth, is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight, to do the right thing, is God's delight. So God is calling upon us, regardless of whether we're in business dealings or personal dealings. God says this false balance is an abomination. But if we will do things God's way, we will do things the right way, a just way, is God's delight. He will be pleased with us and with our way. So, his delight, his character, he wants us to be like him. And it ought to be the desire of one who bears the colors of the king to want to be just like the king. If so be, we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now you're in 11. Flip back one chapter to Proverbs 10, verse number 20. Proverbs 10, verse number 20, page 491. Look what it says there. It says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. And if I could paraphrase these two verses into one little quickie, it says, good men are good for something, and bad men are good for nothing, is what God is saying here. Good men are good for something, bad men are good for nothing. So God says here, he wants us to be a good representation of who he is. And if God is our God, then we ought to want to be like him. We ought to want to display the colors of the king, and we ought to want to live our lives for him. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, wherefore, casting off or laying aside all this malice and all these things, he says, I want you to put it all aside and I want you to be like me. So, you know, if for some reason lately I've been into this whole thing about paraphrasing, but I want to do it one more time. So if you think about, I wanted to break down the words there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. Because really, what is Peter saying to us? If we say that in Proverbs 11, God says A false balance is an abomination. So you're either on one side or you're on the other. And then he says the tongue of the just is silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. He says a good man is good for something. A bad man is good for nothing. You're just no good. So what is Peter saying over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1? Here's my paraphrase. Wherefore, casting off or laying aside all badness. How about that? We understand that word. All badness, all trickery, all hypocrisies, all envy, all jealousy, all defamation, all backbiting. Let us move on. Let us move on, because you are a new man or a new woman in Christ. He says, lay aside or cast away that, all of that badness. And the fact that God tells us to lay it aside or cast it away assures me that I have the power to control my flesh. Huh? The fact that God tells me to lay it aside tells me that I have the power to be in on the decision making about what I do and what I don't do. And that power comes from having a new life in Christ. Now, I want to show you something. Flip over to Romans chapter number 8. I want to show you why I believe that. In Romans chapter number 8, page 834, we're going to pick up at verse number 5. We're going to read through verse number 13. Romans chapter number 8, verse 5. We have the power. We have the power to put off the old and to put on the new because of the Word of God, because of the power that we hold within us, because of our relationship with God, with Jesus Christ as our Savior. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And if I could go back to Proverbs 10, good men are good for something, bad men are good for nothing. He says, they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And in other words, he says to live under the influence of the carnal mind, to live under the influence of the one who is focused on fleshly matters. He says that they live in a constant state of condemnation, and consequently they're liable to a death that will mean eternal separation from God. But on the contrary, God says we ought to be spiritually minded, and to be spiritually minded is life and is peace. It's life and peace in our souls. It's life and it's peace in our souls. And he gives us the ability based on that to live out each day in control of how we respond to life, how we respond to the things that we come into contact with. Verse 7 says this, because the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So what does that flesh look like? It looks bad. It's full of badness. It's full of trickery. It's full of hypocrisies. It's full of envy. It's full of jealousy and defamation and backbiting. The minding of the flesh, we got to lay it aside, and we can. Now let me show you the can part. He says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. We're not in the flesh. If so be, we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If we call on him as Father, since we call on him as Father, is what Peter said. You have the power now to control your own flesh.
Amen.
We got to just get rid of that all. We got to make a proclamation in our hearts that we're going to get rid of it. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, God has given us a new lease on life. He says, I want you to understand the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. And what is it that you might encounter, that I might encounter, that the Spirit of God cannot control, that the Spirit of God cannot conquer? We got to depend on the Spirit of God and say, you know what? When these things rise up inside of us, we got to say, get out of me, because I have thrown that away.
Amen.
I've laid it aside.
Amen.
It's badness and I don't want it.
Amen.
I don't want it. I don't want it. He says the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. He says, and if Christ is in us, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And I believe here, guys, that God has promised us resurrection, and we are going to be resurrected from the dead one day. I believe in this passage, God is not talking about when we die and when we're resurrected from the dead. I believe God is talking about a resurrected body right here. God says, He says the body is already dead from sin, but God will raise that dead body up, and he will raise it up into a new man or a new woman in Christ, so that when we walk this earth today, we can show the real colors of what's on the inside of us. Jesus on the inside. Jesus on the inside. He says that he shall quicken your mortal bodies, the body right now, by the spirit that dwells in us. Sounds like we're going to have two resurrections. We've had one already when we were saved. God killed the body because of sin, but then he raised it again. He has given us an opportunity to live in heavenly places right now. Amen. Right now. Amen. We're alive in Christ. And he says you can fight off all of the diseases and everything that comes in your way. You can fight them all off because God has raised your body, Amen, this resurrected body, from the, Amen, dead. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we're debtors now. This is current. Therefore, brothers, while we are alive, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In other words, we've got to kill off the badness and live in the Spirit. Because we're not debtors to the flesh. And if I can say this, we're debtors to the Spirit. Amen. To the Spirit of God. We must mortify the deeds of the body. The body will be drawn towards the old nature. But we in our power, because the Spirit of God dwells in us, we've got to make a proclamation that we're going to steer in the direction of our God and our Father. Amen. Man, that's good. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you a little bit more about this. About this old and this new nature and the power I believe that God gives us. It's on page 863 in your pew Bibles. In Ephesians chapter 2, God reconfirms for us that we got to get rid of the old. That we got to throw out the old. And we got to make room for the new. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse number 1, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, who wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and in the mind. And look at this next portion. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that shows us that there was this, that we all had a nature. We had a nature of wrath. We had a nature that separated us from God. But verse number 4 tells us where the power came from to overcome all of that. It says, but God. Now, I tell you what, that would be an interesting study to go back and see all the times where God has come to our rescue. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. Right now, guys, right now, in the current day, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together right now. This is a further evidence that there's a resurrection of the dead body when the sins are gone, and we are made alive in Christ. He said he has raised us up together, and he's made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship right now. This shows us power, the power that God has given us. He says, we are his workmanship. It doesn't say we're going to be his workmanship when we see him face to face. He's talking about a new life. He says the badness is gone and God has changed us. And now we are, because we are saved, we are now the workmanship of God. We are created in Christ Jesus, not unto the bad, but unto good works, which God hath ordained, before ordained, that we should walk in them. We have the power. We have the power to make right choices, and we must declare our old nature to be dead and buried. Now flip over to Ephesians 4, page 865. You're almost there. In Ephesians 4, God commands that we let the badness go, that we make the choice, that we're gonna be on his side, that we're gonna wear his banner, we're gonna wear his colors, that we're gonna testify of him. In Ephesians 4, beginning at verse number 17, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Now he says, we don't have that flexibility anymore. We don't have the flexibility to be just like the world anymore. God has taken it away from us. Amen. He has taken it away from us. He says, you don't have the flexibility to walk like the other Gentiles walk. That's why I said you can't. Somebody can't make you lose religion, because God doesn't give you the flexibility to lay it down and to pick it up again. It is something that we wear. We put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
And when we put it on, we never take it off.
Amen.
We cannot take it off. He says, you cannot do that anymore. He says, having the understanding darkened, that's what they were like, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past, feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him. And there's another one of those phrases, just like Peter said before. He says, all right, if so be you call him Father, if so be you had tasted that the Lord, he is gracious, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's talking about right now. He's talking about right now, that we can be renewed immediately. He says, and that you put on the new man. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. He's talking about a brand new man. He's talking about people who can be transformed. He says maybe he was a thief, but let him steal no more, because God has shown him what righteousness
Amen.
Looks like.
Amen.
He says, whatever your nature, throw it away. Throw it away. This is very much against what people think. I got to get right and then I got to come.
Amen.
He says, you don't have to get right. I'll get you right. The word of God will get you right. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Wow, that's a transformation right there.
Amen.
He said, that's what God will do for you. He said, a man that used to steal, he'd take from people. He says, now God's going to teach him how to work and have money available to give to people so that he might be a blessing to others. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you. You can put it away with all malice. And instead, he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Those are the colors God wants us to wear. Those are the colors that God wants us to wear. One last thing, and then we'll move on. Hebrews chapter 12, page 890, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12. God says we can do it. We can lay it aside. we can cast it away. Because He has given us the power. And the power that He has given us, He has given to us because His Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, dwells inside of us, inside of every believer. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," He says to us, "let us lay aside every weight." Whatever it is. Whatever it is. He says, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. He said He knows that just because you declared yourself to be Christ-like, He says, it's not going to be easy. Sin is not just going to be falling out of your way. People are not going to just be paving the yellow brick road for you to walk and skip down. He says, that's not going to happen. But He says, instead, we got to let it all go. We got to lay it all aside. We got to get rid of that. You know, we got to make some decisions about the sin which is going to so easily beset us. And He said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We got to get rid of the old. It's got to go if we're going to show our real colors. Out with the old. And now in with the new. In with the new. 1 Peter chapter 2. This time, verse number 2, He says this. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now we can show our true colors. We have the ability through the Spirit of God to fight against the wiles of the devil and against our earthly nature. But what is our greatest weapon? It's the Word of God. That's our greatest weapon. It's the Word of God. Now, I want to show you a couple of things about this Word of God. In Romans chapter 7, verse number 7, I'll show you that very quickly. That's on page 834 in your pew Bibles. Here's what Paul said in Romans 7, verse 7. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, before somebody screams, I thought we were a New Testament church. I want to make sure you understand that I believe that there is no distinction between God's Old Testament and God's New Testament. I believe that it is a complete Word of God. It's a prophecy that began in the Old and that's completed in the New. So we need to be just as concerned about the words of the law as we are about the words that Jesus spoke to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17. Here's what Jesus said. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So the Word of God is still our sharpest weapon. It's still the tool that we need to keep in our tool belt, the tool that we need to have most readily available. So the same Word of God, the written Word of God, is our best defense against our old nature. And it's also our greatest ally towards a life fulfilled on this earth. He says, like newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word. Like a baby, desire the milk of the word. And this example fascinated me. So I thought I'd look up a few things about babies and about milk. And what I learned is this, is that during pregnancy and continuing through the early days of breastfeeding, mothers, all mothers, produced something called colostrum. And this special milk is from my research, this special milk is kind of a yellow to orange color, and it's kind of thick and it's kind of sticky. It's different from the breast milk that the child would have as he or she continued to nurse. But it's low in fat and it's high in carbohydrates, it's high in protein, it's high in antibodies, and it will help to keep the baby healthy. This colostrum is also very easy for the babies to digest and is therefore the perfect first food for your baby. It's low in volume. You don't get very much of it, but it's high in concentrated nutrition for the newborn baby. Now, this colostrum also provides not only perfect nutrition that's tailored especially for the needs of a newborn baby, but it also it provides large amounts of living cells which will defend the baby against many harmful agents. Now, you think about what God is saying here. He says, like a newborn baby, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word. You know what, that newborn baby, they want that newborn baby to get that first milk from mama. You know, here's a small little jump. We had that little calf, and we were trying to save that little calf's life, and we couldn't do it. But what the vet finally told us is what that calf really missed was that very first milk from its mama, that colostrum, because that would have helped that little calf to build up some antibodies so that he would be able to withstand all the things that he would go through in the first few days of his life. But he never got it. Likewise, God is saying, as believers, he wants us to desire that first milk. He wants us to desire that nutrition that we can only get from the Word of God. He wants us to get it. He says we don't have to get it all at one time. We can get a little bit at a time. And it's good for what's ailing you. And it'll stick to your bones. And it'll give you the nutrients that you need. It will help you to withstand the very wiles of the devil. And if you have tasted this, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, guess what? Like newborn babes, you'll want to keep going back time and time again for more of the nutritious Word of God.
Amen.
If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Amen.
God says, I want you to have this Word like the newborn babe.
Amen.
Like he needs good food to eat. Like he needs that which will make his body strong. Like he needs that will help him to fight off diseases. He said, it is the Word of God. It is your best weapon. Now look in Psalm 34, verse number 8. That's on page 441. God wants us to feed on him. He wants us to feed on his word that we might be able to grow into faithful children. And if we have so tasted that the Lord is gracious, he says he knows his word is good for us. He wants us to accept that his word is good for us. And he wants us to desire more of it. Psalm 34. Verse number 8, page 441, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, we can't trust him if we haven't tasted him, if we don't like him, if we haven't learned him. He says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. He's talking about reverencing him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, you know what he's talking about there. You know, the young lion can't take care of itself. The older lions do. The young lion can't hunt. The older lions do. He says, likewise, he says, the Lord is not going to let you get hungry. But the Lord, if you'll just seek the Lord, he says, you will not have want of anything. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry.
Amen.
Amen. He says, if you will just get a little taste, and God will show you how good he is. You know what? The Word of God is gooder than banana pudding. And you know I like that. And that's what God wants us to. He wants us to be like that. He wants us to get a taste and go, oh my goodness, that's good. And to go back for some more. And to go back for some more. And he says, if you're hungry, you will never go without. I will always give you exactly what you need. Now we'll close out in Proverbs 8, and I'm going to tell you what, I struggle with Proverbs 8 because there's 36 verses in there, and I wanted to cut some of them out so bad, and I just couldn't pick any to cut out, so you get them all. But Proverbs 8 speaks about the wisdom of God and the path that God wants us to take. That he wants us to be in concert with him at all times. And God wants us to be in perfect rhythm with Him. He wants us to take on the new. He wants us to take on the new, have a brand new attitude, like babies, desiring the sincere milk of His Word and growing in it. In Proverbs 8, beginning at verse number 1, he says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart, hear. For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth." This is the wisdom of God. He says, if you will just desire it, if you will just seek after Him, He says, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips.
Amen.
And all the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." God says, all right. We read earlier that a false abomination, a false balance was an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is His delight. Here God says, all right, if you will just understand me, if you will just open your heart to the words and the ways of God, He says, they're plain to him that understandeth. They are. Wisdom speaks plain. You know, the message of salvation is so simple. You know, we complicate it. But God made it so simple. It's so simple that He just said, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." When you share it with people, they say, "That's it?" Well, that's it. Wisdom cries out. And He says, and wisdom is simple. And it's simple to understand. And it's right to those who have a desire to find knowledge. He says, "Receive, verse 10, my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Now that's an awesome little verse there. It's worthy of a highlight, if you highlight in your Bible. He says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence." I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. What is he saying there? He says, where wisdom dwell, good sense dwells. Where wisdom dwell, good judgment dwells.
Amen.
Where wisdom dwell, you're able to consider the consequences before you jump into something and make a wrong choice. He says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Otherwise, and what he's saying there is, because of the wisdom of God, not only do we have good sense and are we able to make good judgment, he says, but the wisdom of God also helps us to be able to think through things and come up with good solutions. He says, witty inventions, witty solutions. God gives us that power if we will just trust Him. How many things has the Word of God given people the clarity to come up with? How many things in science has been explained through the Word of God? It took men a long time to figure out that life was in the blood. Well, if they had just opened the Word of God, God had already told them the life was in the blood. They figured out, well, what else is in there? Break down that blood and see what we can do to give people life. You know, in the early days, they used to cut people and bleed them when they thought they were sick. They thought what they had was too much blood. But through the wisdom of God's Word and the wisdom that God gave people, what they found out is what they needed was more blood. More life. More life. Verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." There it is again. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking," he says, "the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rules and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, like a young lion depend upon him, And he will give you exactly what you need. He says, those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. Now, beginning in verse number 22, God gives us an idea as to why we can rely on Him. This portion I wanted to leave out for you, but I just couldn't do it. Because it shows us the strength of our God and the strength of the promises that He has made to us. Beginning in verse 22, He says, the Lord possessed me wisdom, He says. This is the same wisdom that the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you and I holds. Now, I want you to see the power. He says, the Lord possessed me wisdom in the beginning of His way. Before His works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth. He said that's where wisdom was. And wisdom is and has been a constant companion with God, brought up with Him. Brought up with Him like a little newborn baby. Look what He says in verse 30. He says, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Man, like a newborn baby, He says, I want you to desire that. That's what wisdom was like. He said wisdom was brought up with God. Wisdom was brought up with God. Wisdom was there with God from the beginning. He says, rejoicing in the habitable part of this of His earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, all ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Here's our counsel. How will we show the colors of God? How will we get rid of the old, cast it away, lay it aside? How will we hold on to the new man, this woman, this child of God that God would have us to be? He says here, oh, ye children, hearken unto me, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, wisdom. Like newborn babes, go out and get it. Seek Him early. And He'll be found. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. God wants us to be like babies. God wants us to be on His team. God wants us to show our colors, grab onto it. But He says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me, they love death. I guess the question for today is, what colors do we bear? The colors of the old man or the colors of a man brand new? And God wants us to bear the colors of the new as evidence that we're listening to Him, that we're seeking Him early. That we have a desire in our hearts to have the wisdom of God. That we are, as Proverbs 8 put it, that we're watching at His gate. That we're waiting at the post of His door for the greater knowledge of our new life and the favor that He has in store for us. Whose side are you on today? I'm on God's side. I made my proclamation. That's where I'm staying. Amen. Throwing out the old, replacing it with the new. Let's pray. Yes. Father, I'm thankful that you have given You have given us your word. Your word is our strength. Your word is our defense. Your word is our purpose for living this life. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've assured us in the passages that we studied today that you've given us the power right now to stand boldly, to stand without hesitation, to stand, Lord, in the wisdom of your word and in the power of your word, and to fight against the wiles of the devil, against that old nature, against anything that the devil might try to stir up on the inside of us. Father, I pray that we might walk each day with the knowledge of that victory in our hearts and in our heads. I pray, Father, that that might translate into boldness, that we might share our faith with others as we meet them along the way. And we do pray, Father, that you might use us for the strengthening of your kingdom. Lord, so much that you have to teach us. Keep us watching at your gate. Keep us watching and waiting at the doorpost, Lord, of your mighty temple. And I pray, Father, that you would just feed us with your word. Fill us, Lord, with your spirit. Equip us with all that we need, Father, so that we can stand before you unashamed when you return to claim us as your own. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.